welcome to Hype episode 29. Hello, Josh and Marima. How are you guys?
Doing good.
Excellent.
Well, it's been a while since our last episode. Sorry about that. But the good news is lots of people wrote to us on Twitter saying, where the hell's the next episode? And so people care. I was comforted by that.
Yes.
That's nice. We're just playing hard to get.
Yep.
But we're back now.
Yes, we're back now. And I think we're back with regular episodes now. So, of course, a lot has happened since our last episode. It's been about a month. We're going to start the episode today talking about a few movies that have been released or are about to be released or are going to be released in about another year. And then we're going to get into some TV news. Lots of interesting things to talk about today. We're going to start with the movie that swept the box office this weekend, The Fault in Our Stars. Of course, we've been talking about this for well over a year, and it finally hit theaters. Merrim, I know you saw it. Josh, did you?
Yep, I did.
Oh, okay, great. So we're all going to talk about it. Merrim, you saw it a while ago, but we haven't talked about it on this show yet. Your thoughts on it?
I think I saw it like right after our last episode came out.
Okay,
damn it.
So on a recent episode, we actually had an interesting discussion about John Green and, you know, his role in the YA community. Do you think it lived up to expectations? And do you think it's good news for future book to film adaptations since it did so well? It made $48.2 million the opening weekend in the United States, which is really good because the film only cost $12 million to make.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think whether or not you're a fan is kind of irrelevant because the fact that this is like a contemporary, it's not a supernatural young adult, it's not fantasy, it's not Harry Potter, it's not The Hunger Games, and it has done so well is really, really encouraging, especially because there's If I Stay is coming out in August, and if that does well, I think that will really like entrench this trend that is starting towards these, you kind of start with Perks of Being a Wallflower, but obviously Fault has been a lot more successful. So that is really encouraging because there's a whole lot of things in development and this means that maybe they will actually be made, which is really nice. In terms of the film itself, I thought when I saw it, and I haven't seen it again, so these were like my initial thoughts, but I would stand by them that if you liked the book, you will really, really love the film. Like it's a really solid adaptation. But if you didn't like the book, or had some issues with it, they'll just be made worse by the film. And, you know, that's like neither here nor there. I think, obviously a lot of critics have really liked it and a lot of people have gone to see it. So that's good.
Yeah.
The fans, I'm glad that the fans have a movie that they really like. As someone that didn't particularly connect with the book, I didn't really expect to go and love it and I didn't. So
the question
I'm not disappointed by that.
The question is, did you cry?
No, Andrew, you know I have no soul. Come on.
You know, I didn't either. Except for one scene. The one scene I cried during was when Hazel's parents are talking to her about their life after she dies. That part really got to me. Josh, did you read the book before seeing the movie?
No, I didn't.
Okay. Yep. So what were your thoughts?
I thought it was good. Like Marvin said, I feel like it's a good sign for future films. That's the way I kind of look at it, is that it's kind of a new film for, I guess, the box office. It did really well in the United States, like you said. And I just think it was a good film. I think having read the book, I probably would have enjoyed it more. So I'm almost disappointed I didn't, but we kind of went into it with one person. We're going to do two reviews, you know, with Louis doing one, having read the book, and me doing one, having not read the book, but we decided not to do that. But it was good. I mean, everybody was crying. I wasn't, but I don't cry at all. So
yeah,
that's not surprising.
Not surprising.
All three of us are monsters.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, we're horrible,
terrible people.
But
everyone in the cinema that I was in was like sobbing their eyes out badly.
Yeah. Even like,
I was like
adults.
Guys, be quiet. Be quieter about it.
I compared it on Twitter to the Deathly Hallows Part 2 finale where people were just openly crying. I mean, it was a mess.
I think it was worse than that. Yeah.
That was worse. Yeah.
I think
in my cinema,
it
was definitely worse than Deathly Hallows.
Well, and 100%. It's also, it's worse because arguably the story is a more tragic outcome. I mean, you know, Gus is actually you know what ing. So,
spoiler.
Yeah, spoiler alert. <You're lying. laughs> So, $48.2 million, $12 million budget. It's a huge success. Obviously, we know that Fox is already working on another John Green book.
No, I'm kidding.
What'd you say?
I said a sequel.
A sequel. How Hazel deals with the loss of Gus. Paper Towns is the next book that they're going to be adapting. Do you think it's going to be hit after hit for the John Green movies, or is it just that, I mean, this one, obviously, this is the most popular John Green book, so the other ones will likely not hit this high of a mark on opening weekend, right?
No.
Well, I think they could now. Like, based off this, so many people have been drawn to John Green's books through The Fault in Our Stars, and I think it would be similar with the films. It also helps that Nat Wolff is going to star in Paper Towns, and he was in Fault, and he was in Stuck in Love, which was really good, and he's becoming like quite big in that sort of young adult teen movie scene. So I think that helps to connect the two. So people will think like, oh, I saw The Fault in Our Stars and I really liked it. So Paper Towns, like, oh, it's the same guy and it's the same author. Sure, I'll see that.
Yeah. I mean, you know that they're going to be in the trailers from John Green, the author of The Fault in Our Stars, that movie you really liked and wanted to see opening weekend.
Yeah. With that really funny guy that was in it that didn't get enough screen time. Now you can see more of him. Yay.
With another attractive male as the lead.
I do like Nat Wolff a lot, though.
You may or may not die.
Yeah. I think Paper Towns will do well. I don't think it'll do as good as, say, Looking for Alaska. Because, I mean, the other thing to remember about The Fault in Our Stars, 7 million copies in print. That number is only going up. I mean, I couldn't believe I was watching the new season of Orange is the New Black last night. And one of the new characters is reading The Fallen Our Stars. I'm like,
oh, I saw that.
As if this book didn't need another boost from the public eye. here's one character reading it. But oh man, I lost my train of thought. I think if another John Green book is going to get close, it's going to be Looking for Alaska. That seems to be the one that everybody wants to be made into a film. And of course, you can bet it's going to be.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Every John Green book from now until the end of time will be turned into
Abundance of Catherines. Might want to skip out on that one.
Okay. I haven't read that one.
He'll have written something new by then, by the time they get through these ones.
True. Yeah. So that was what's happening there. Congratulations. I mean, Fox and John Green and the cast, they did a great job of selling the movie. John Green has been so involved with this, from being on set to the promotion. I mean, that helped so much, I think. If John Green had removed himself, like, say, the Percy Jackson author Rick Riordan does, I don't think it would have been as successful. So, I hope Fox sent him a nice gift basket.
On a side note, box office-wise, I was disappointed to see Edge of Tomorrow did so poorly in the U.S., and then I looked in the international, and it made like $88 million in international.
Oh.
So it made up for my... It was a really good film. That's why I was surprised that The Fault just destroyed it. Yeah, I like it.
It looks so dumb.
I looked terrible, and I just went because my brother asked me to go, and it was great.
Yeah, people seem to be really liking it.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that...
I just hate him so much. Like, yeah, I just it can't did, watch like, the movie. It,
even Maleficent beat it this past week in the U.S., but then it did like crazy numbers. It did crazy numbers in, you know, the international market. So,
but it had a
Tom Cruise effect.
Yeah, but it had a $178 million budget, so that's a tough bar for them to cross.
Yeah.
But it sounds like they will. They made.
Yeah, I think they already did. Yeah, they were up to like $111 million the last time I looked. So
okay.
And you know, I was really surprised. I mean, it was good. It was like the one sci-fi movie I didn't just want to destroy.
Yeah. He did something cool. He did three premieres in 24 hours in three different countries. It was pretty fun to watch. I was seeing some of the tweets. Like, one was in America, one was in London, and then I can't remember where the third one was, but he knocked them all out in 24 hours. It was pretty cool, I have to say. I was impressed.
I used to give Tom, you know, crap because of Scientology and all that nonsense, but I swear that guy seems like a great guy, and in the interviews I've seen, he just seems like one of the nicest people ever.
Yeah.
And he's a great actor. I mean, I was really surprised. I just haven't seen him in much in a while, and he just kind of blew me away again in this film.
Cool.
I just hate him so much.
Yeah, I don't really see any Tom Cruise movies.
I really don't. You know, I didn't like him forever, and then just out of nowhere, this came out.
So talking about now another movie that is coming out this Friday, How to Train Your Dragon 2. This is, of course, a sequel to the original of the same name. I saw it. It was really, really good. And people loved the original. You guys saw the original, I assume.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
And, I have to say it lives up to that. And there's even a big surprise that you don't expect. The trailers spoil one thing. And people were surprised. Why would they give that away in the trailer? But then after you see the movie, it makes sense because they have another big surprise in store. And like the Fault in Our Stars, actually, there was some sobbing going on in the screening that I saw it in. So check out Hypeable. What?
More awkward sobbing.
Yep,
more awkward. We won't cry yet.
So check it out in theaters this Friday. Oh, and also on Hypeable, I have a report. I got to visit DreamWorks, which was really cool, the studio that made the movie, and we got to talk to the director and producer, so it was a good time. So in my report, the first one that I released, I spoke to the director about how he creates a worthy sequel. Because, you know, the first movie was so popular. It has like a 98% rating on Rotten Tomatoes, I think. You know, how do you live up to that? And his answer was time jumping. As everybody knows, Hiccup is now older.
Older.
And it paid off because he has a new set of problems. So, by the way, movie number 3, 2016. So, buckle in for that whole franchise to continue for a while. Also, out in theaters now is Maleficent, as Josh mentioned, starring Angelina Jolie. Did you guys see this?
I did.
Yeah.
Okay. What did you think of all the changes compared to Sleeping Beauty?
I'll let Marima go at this.
Oh, what? Well, I think I didn't care because I didn't like Sleeping Beauty anyway. But I have since discovered that a lot of people have very strong feelings about Sleeping Beauty. And are very sad about the changes. I guess what I liked about it was, I mean, I mainly went because Angelina Jolie, she's amazing, and I'm happy to just look at her face in 3D. But aside from that,
I guess, right.
I mean, and it was free, so who am I to say no to that? No, what I liked about it was because the way that they went about it was not them saying, like, here's what happened in Sleeping Beauty, P.S., this is what was happening behind the scenes. They were like, oh no, Sleeping Beauty, that's like someone told that story wrong. This is how it actually happened. So I feel like if you're a really big fan of Sleeping Beauty, you can just kind of ignore Maleficent. You don't really have to accept it as like your canon for what's going on. And if you really liked it, then that's fine too. But lots of people don't get on board with that approach. So
it was just
as a movie, it was pretty terrible. Like, let's be real.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was fine. It was just, I
thought it was disappointing. Not bad.
It was so awkward.
Yeah.
It was just like a nothing movie. If Angelina Jolie, if it had been any other actress, it would have been so painful to watch.
Yeah, I think I was just expecting more because the trailers looked good. And I was like, Angelina looks incredible. And it just didn't, you know, hold up.
Well, and one of the things that bothered me was that the ego behind, you know, the story you know isn't the truth. This is the truth. Like, why?
Yeah, they're kind of like shoving it down your throat.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah. There's a couple surprises, of course, because it is an alternate story. And I just couldn't help but roll my eyes. And, you know, that one particular moment at the end where there's a big change, you know, there was like audible gasps in the theater because everybody's like, wait, this is definitely not the story that we know. So, yeah, I mean, it was fine. It's like, it made so much, and now this trend is going to continue onward. We got that live-action Cinderella, and we've got, you know, other live-action Beauty and the Beast, which we'll talk about in a minute. It's just crazy. So let's talk about another book-to-film adaptation, Insurgent. This is, of course, the Divergent sequel. A couple of things to mention here. First of all, a Lost alum, Daniel Dae Kim, is going to play Jack Kang. And then Naomi Watts, also another well-known actor, going to play Four's mother. And over the past couple of weeks, because filming just started, there's been a crazy number of casting announcements. I don't know if we talked about it when, let's see, it was our last episode before, it was before this. Octavia Spencer is going to play the Amity leader, Joanna. She, of course, best known for her role in The Help. So, lots of announcements here.
Didn't they have another one, the Dauntless? That Dauntless
Uriah?
Guy? Yeah, Uriah, because he's Australian, so I recognized him.
Oh, okay, yeah. So, Uriah, he's...
I don't know how you say that.
Or Uriah, I don't know.
Uriah? Well, I think that's how I say it.
They announced his casting on Tuesday. This actor who's going to play him is Australian, as Mama said. And he's an unknown. He's not like a well-known actor.
No, but he was quite, he was in an Australian TV show that was like quite, you know, well-liked, and he was good in that.
Oh, so okay. I think he'll be good. That Dance Academy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. It sounds like really dumb, but it's actually a really good show. Don't judge me.
Sure.
It's lots of boys dancing in tights. What can I say?
Well, it was kind of a big deal that he was cast because, let me try to pronounce his name. Kenyon Lonsdale. Hopefully.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but let's go with that.
So it was kind of a big deal because the character is actually introduced in Divergent. Obviously, he was cut from the movie. The character was cut from the movie. And, you know, fans were upset, like, they're making all these changes to the book. This isn't good. And then Veronica Roth, you know, wrote a little statement on it back. This was in April of last year. And, you know, just saying that it's actually a good thing that they're cutting him because that'll give them the time to develop him in movie two. And okay, fair enough. So
most of the time. You see that a lot where the first film will have someone cast and then they'll cast someone else because they just don't have the time or money. Sometimes there's just not a budget to cast like who you want, you know, for that role.
Apparently they still don't have the budget because they're casting an unknown.
Hey,
I've seen your point. Or like I've seen where they'll cut somebody and then hire like someone that is decent.
Yeah.
Am I the only one who feels like Naomi Watts does not look old enough to be
That's James's what I was gonna
mother.
Say. I thought it was insulting to say like she was his mother. But
yeah.
She's older, but she has young kids. I don't see this. I
mean, maybe, but she also hasn't aged in like 15 years and Theo James is like 45,
she's gorgeous and doesn't look for his mother.
She's Australian.
I'm not sure how recent that particular picture is in the article, so
I was just wondering that.
Yeah, I tried to pick one that looked recent, but I don't know if it is for sure. But I have to say the Divergent cast really has filled out into a decent...
It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's good. It's surprising. It's exciting. I mean, you know,
it is good.
Sometimes they cast just boring people for some of these movies, particularly book-to-film adaptations.
I especially like the diversity in the cast. That's been really nice.
Yeah. And I mean, that goes back to Veronica's book, right? I mean, you know.
Yeah, I don't know if she likes, well, some characters she likes says explicitly, but some others I can't remember, honestly. But it's just nice to see them mixing it up.
Yeah.
A lot of times they don't in these kinds of things. And you're like, why is everyone white in your fantasy adaptation?
Yeah, definitely. All right, well, I mentioned Beauty and the Beast is going to be getting a live-action film. It is going to be directed, we have learned, by Bill Condon, who directed the final two Twilight movies. He's also directing what looks like a fantastic Sherlock movie starring Sir Ian McKellen, following Sherlock in his older years. It's based on a book. It has slipped my mind at the moment. But so live-action Beauty and the Beast... and the Beast. My problem with this is that I can't imagine a good looking beast. Like the animated one from the classic Disney movie. I like how he looks, but I just can't see it for live action.
I feel like maybe he's going to be less like an animal and more just like not attractive. You know what I mean? You know, like it's going to be more like prosthetics kind of thing. I don't know, because they can't just have this guy running around in like a beast outfit on set.
Yeah.
Right. I feel like we've seen, like, I guess for the Beauty and the Beast on Broadway, there was a interpretation of the Beast. And it just didn't look good, I didn't think.
Well, so,
some things
Broadway,
work better in these cartoons.
Yeah, and the Broadway adaptations of all these Disney musicals are always really cartoony, but you get away with it because it's Broadway. Like, everyone's singing and dancing on Broadway.
Right,
it doesn't
right,
matter.
Yeah.
But in a movie, it's just really awkward.
So there's no date for this movie or anything, really. All we know is that Bill Condon is going to be directing, so it's probably still a long ways off. So we have plenty of time to brace ourselves, whether it's going to be good or bad. Let's talk Star Wars Episode 7. Again, I can't remember if our last episode we talked about the main cast, but they've added two more women, and it was kind of significant because when the initial casting announcement was made, I believe there was only two women and like seven guys. So now they've added Lupita Nyong'o and Gwendolyn Christie. Of course, two very...
Oscar winner.
Yeah. Two very well-known actors. Gwendolyn is killing it lately. I mean, she... Well, obviously, Lupita is too. But Gwendolyn, to our readers, will know that she was in... She is in Game of Thrones, and she is going to be in The Hunger Games Mockingjay. So, she's got a bunch of cool roles. We don't know who they're going to play, but presumably they will be significant characters because these are significant actresses, so... Good news there. How do you think Star Wars is shaping up, Josh?
I don't know. It's hard to tell. They're filming now. It's just there's just not much info on what the story is. So it's kind of like, we'll see.
Right.
We'll see.
Yeah,
they have good
tell.
Actors.
In related,
Lupita is a good sign. So.
Yeah, for sure. In related Star Wars news, we know who is directing that. We've spoken before about. There's going to be spin-off Star Wars movies that are standalone. So
yeah, standalones is basically what they've been calling them.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry, I called a spin-off in this headline. Yeah. Louis did. Louis, damn it. So they're going to follow particular characters, these standalone movies. The rumors are Yoda, Boba Fett, and young Han Solo. And
which actually sounds more interesting than the main that we're doing.
Right, because Harrison Ford's involved with episode 7 is Han Solo.
Yeah. Which is weird.
Yeah. So the first one is going to be released December 16th, 2016. So in other words, as had been rumored earlier this year, we are going to be getting a new Star Wars movie every year. So episode 7 in 2015... This standalone movie in 2016, episode 8 in 2017, so on and so forth. And the guy directing this first one is Godzilla director Gareth Edwards. So is that good news? Because Godzilla was really good, right?
I guess. Yeah.
And then who's the other standalone? I don't have it here, but do you remember?
The other director or the...
The other director, yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
It's okay.
I'm unprepared.
We are not the Star Wars writers.
You're fired.
I'm going to look through now and find out. Oh, here we go. Chronicle director Josh Trank.
Josh Trank. Yep.
Yeah.
I did know that.
I liked Chronicle.
But again, we don't know what they're directing it. We know it's a standalone.
And that's kind of the thing with the main movie, too. We just don't know what it's going to be like yet. It's like, we're putting all the characters in. It's like, okay, what does that mean?
Is it good that there's all this secrecy? Because, like, for example, with Warner Brothers, we already know a decent amount about Fantastic Beasts, the Harry Potter
I think they assume that just the audience is going to come no matter what, so they don't feel the need to release more of the story. But I think that might be a mistake because you're not gaining the new audience members that you could gain.
Right, right.
Like in a normal movie, you know, you progressively release more and more about the film. And I just don't see them doing this. But maybe it's just because they've started filming and they don't want to release everything.
Yeah. In fairness, it is still early.
Yeah, it is. They just started like last week or something.
Mm-hmm. So speaking of Fantastic Beasts, there was a big rumor from a reputable source that said Alfonso Cuarón, who directed Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban, will be directing...
And Gravity,
right? Another Warner Brothers David Heyman project.
Yep.
He will be directing Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. And Marima was ready to go on an article because she was super excited. I was like, let's wait till it's official. And then a couple days later, he denied it. He denied that he is going to be directing.
Ooh.
Well, but
what's he directing?
Well, we don't know yet, but the speculation seems to be that
Gravity 2.
No. The insider talk seems to be that Warner Brothers absolutely is in love with Alfonso right now because it was a breakout hit. So he could pick whatever project he wants to develop at Warner Brothers right now. And Fantastic Beasts is probably just one of several on the table. He said, but these comments seem to suggest that while they would let him direct Fantastic Beasts, he's not actually going to. So he said, directing Prisoner of Azkaban was a very beautiful experience for me. I have a lot of love for that universe, and I tremendously admire J.K. Rowling. But today, for the present, projects based around lots of visual effects don't attract me. So in other words, you know, Gravity was obviously very visual effects intensive. Yeah, and
I think he's just tired of it. He worked on it for like 7 years.
And understandably so. I mean, he, with Fantastic Beasts, he would have to create an entire new world like that.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That would be tough. You're right.
Yeah.
He's probably ready just to do something different.
With that said, their Fantastic Beasts is going to be a trilogy, so maybe he'll direct another
the
one.
The third one,
right. The finale, which by the way, is going to be split into two movies.
Oh my god.
Crap, sorry.
I mean, I just made that up, but okay. It's possible.
Everybody was worried about this. I was like, he's a great director. I was like,
yeah,
the
I
third
get
film
it.
Is fun. He's amazing. We could do a lot worse with Fantastic Beasts.
The three of us were like the only people in High School that were actually excited about this.
Everyone was really excited.
I was so excited.
I mean, people don't understand how impressive this. Gravity was just on a technical standpoint.
Yeah,
he's obviously a master.
Right, he's a fantastic director. I would have really loved him to do this. I'm still sad about the fact that he's not going to do it. So this is a video podcast. You would see me like real sad right now.
Aww,
on sadness. The verge of tears right now.
Yep. Well, I mean, Prisoner of Azkaban was just so original. And it was so unique that you want that for Fantastic Beasts. You want it to stand out and not look like it's just another Harry Potter movie. So.
Yep.
Right, but also it would have tied it to the Harry Potter series. Mm-hmm. Like, it would have been a clever move to get someone who brought one of the aesthetics.
And he would have been the perfect guy, I think.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, the good news is that I think, I'm not sure, but I have to assume that many people who were involved with Harry Potter are going to be involved with this. Of course, we know that David Heyman is producing. He produced all 8 Harry Potter movies. I hope Stuart Craig, the set designer, is going to be back.
He's the only one I care about. David Heyman, I don't care. But Stuart Craig, if he doesn't do it, that's such a wasted opportunity.
He must have a role because he's still involved with the theme parks. I mean, he's been traveling to Orlando and Japan.
Right. I feel like Warner Brothers just own his soul. Like, he just does everything with the Harry Potter stuff.
Yeah.
He's not that old.
Yeah, no, I don't think.
He's 72.
Okay. So
that's not bad.
At the least, he could be in a supervising role.
Yep.
Or an advisor or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's really why Harry Potter looked the way it did.
Absolutely.
He created pretty much all the huge set pieces and everything.
Yeah.
Or designed them, rather.
Lionsgate shook up the fandom, the Hunger Games fandom, when at the end of May, about a week and a half ago, they reminded everybody that they're still thinking about a Hunger Games attraction at a theme park.
Still thinking. We're not quite sure yet.
Yeah, this announcement came when they announced a Hunger Games touring exhibition, like what Harry Potter does. And the Harry Potter one's actually quite popular. I mean, it's been all around the world, and I went to it when it was in New York. It was really cool. You get to see lots of props right in front of you. It was really neat. So they're doing one like that. It's called the Hunger Games, the exhibition. It's opening summer 2015. But in the same announcement, they said, they've hired somebody who is, let's see, where's the exact quote here? We're committed to extending our brands into exciting new businesses that create opportunities for our fans to engage with our properties. There's something else in here that specifically mentioned a theme park. But,
just make it up.
Oh, exploring additional theme park attraction and other location-based entertainment opportunities.
There you go. Thank you. So they are indeed working on some sort of theme
park. The dumbest idea ever.
And of course, this was announced on a Friday, so we had a little fun with it. We did, you know, the 8 horrible ideas for a Hunger Games theme park attraction. And if you haven't checked it out on Hypeable, you definitely should. We have things like...
I was like, totally joking whenever I did mine.
What was yours again? Which one?
The when you get to throw Spirit Roo.
Oh, yeah.
I thought you were just like messing around, and I was like, whatever.
I called the ride
in there, and I was like, oh, crap.
I called the attraction Roo's Rough Day. At this gruesome attraction, become Marvel and have the chance to send a spear through Roo. 3 practice rounds before the game will let you improve your aim. If you don't kill Roo, she'll run free and end up winning the Hunger Games after she turns her back on Katniss.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that was better than I remembered.
That was some improvements.
But then there's, I also did one that I've been touting for a long time, PETA's Bread Factory, sponsored by Subway, where you can make your own bread, just like you're at, you know, because Subway did this promotion with Catching Fire last November, and there was no PETA bread. I was so disappointed.
Yeah, such a waste.
There was no PETA bread?
No PETA bread.
Fail.
Yep, major fail. All right, so we'll see what happens there. I'll be shocked if they actually end up putting some sort of attraction into a theme park. It just seems...
They must realize it's, like, actually the dumbest thing they could ever have thought of to do to promote this movie.
It's just some committee, like, we have to do the theme park now.
Right, they have to please investors.
Yeah, we have to write a report on the theme park.
The exhibition works, though. That's a good attraction, and I can understand that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't have the irony of, like, celebrating the death of children that is the entire message of the book.
Yeah. So there was some big news in the Marvel world when Edgar Wright, the director of Ant-Man, left over creative differences between him and Marvel. This was a big deal because he's been attached to Ant-Man since 2006, Josh, or...
Forever. He's worked on it for 10 years.
Yeah, it's crazy. So why did this happen? How could he have left?
So what they say, and this is all we can do, is we can't speculate, just look at what they say, was that Edgar Wright, the director, was finishing up the script, and the last 2 weeks before they were about to film on June 2nd, basically the head honcho at Marvel said, you know, we want to rewrite it. And he rewrote the script with 2 other writers without Edgar Wright's knowledge. So he gets the script 2 weeks before he's supposed to film, and it's totally different than what he had done, you know, worked with over the last 2 years, I think. And basically he just left. He just walked. And they released a joint message saying that they left amicably, which was total bull crap. And, there's no way he left this film happy. You know what I mean? He worked on this film for a decade. So I just think that, well, I don't know where you want me to go with this, but basically something happened in Marvel, whether someone knew or I don't know what happened, because obviously Edgar Wright's been working with them for the last couple of years. They didn't just suddenly think his script sucked 2 weeks before the film date.
Right.
So
Right. Something
happened and we don't know. We just don't know. Sadly, we're stuck with a new director. You might want to intro that.
Yeah, so Peyton Reed has been selected as the new director. This after a good week of rumors of who would be directing.
And it wasn't even rumors. It was like directors were coming out and saying, like, no, I'm not willing to do Ant-Man because you guys let Edgar Wright go. Edgar Wright's a really – people might not know him in our fan base, but he's a very, like, cult director. And so a lot of directors kind of started because of him. And so you'll find a lot of them won't, you know, cross him whenever he's trying to do something.
Yeah.
Not out of respect, not out of, like, you know, being afraid.
Right. Even Joss Whedon, who's directing Marvel's Avengers sequel, he did a little tribute on Twitter, which was pretty funny.
And I thought that was pretty crazy because he's basically giving the finger to Marvel.
Yeah.
Who he's running.
You know? Rightfully so. I mean, again, like you said, he's been working on this. Edgar Wright was working on this project forever. And for this to fall apart right before they start filming is just nuts. Peyton Reed, he has directed movies like Yes Man, The Breakup, and Bring It On.
Everybody must
be critically acclaimed hit.
They're like, hiring a Yes Man for the Yes Man movie, because that's basically what they want.
Right.
Is a Yes Man, you know, to direct the movie, I guess. And I think what may have happened, this is what's speculated, is that Edgar Wright wanted to make Ant-Man a more of a standalone film. And you know that Marvel now has become where you have to put in like other people's characters and other storylines from other movies to kind of interlock these films. So I think that he was wanting to do more of a standalone and they weren't willing to do that.
Yeah.
So sad. I have so much respect for him for walking, though. Imagine
that's crazy.
Walking after spending so much time on this, and then just being like, you know what? I'm not dealing with this. I'm not going to do it.
I'm not sure if I've said this before, but I don't know how anybody can be excited for a Marvel movie about ants. I mean,
it's not about ants. It's cool. The main guy is just able to shrink to small size, so he's not even an ant.
Well, yeah, okay, so I don't think it's like A Bug's Life or anything, but yeah, just seems didn't like DreamWorks do an ant movie,
and that was kind of why everybody trusted Edgar Wright, was because it was his kind of baby over the last 10 years, and we were hoping that only one person would get it right, and now it probably won't get it won't be done right. But
and there was that concept video that was released.
And
that was Comic-Con. Really cool.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw that, Andrew. There was some Comic-Con video footage that Edgar Wright made on his own.
Oh, really?
And it was incredible.
It was like his audition for Andrew.
Yeah, and it was awesome. I mean, it looked, you would, like you said, you would never think it would work, but he shrinks down and like beats the crap out of a couple guards.
Oh,
and it's really neat, and I had no faith in this film going into it because I didn't really care about the character, and he kind of won me over after that Comic-Con footage.
People were all sort of accepting Ant-Man because it was Edgar Wright.
Even Kevin Feige was like, we're doing this. That's Marvel's president. In case people don't know, he was like, the only reason we're doing Ant-Man is because of Edgar Wright's vision. And he said this in 2013.
Yeah.
And then they fired him for having a difference of creative vision. So that's, that's pretty much where they're at. And now they've hired the director who did the cheerleading Bring It On.
Okay,
movie.
I don't know why everyone's hating so much from Bring It On.
I was really mad when I read that article.
I know, so I could tell. I read your article. Like,
what are they thinking?
It was really mean.
And it wasn't just the director. No offense to those films. I actually like Yes Man and a couple of other things he did. But
Bring It On. It's great.
I just felt like it was being disrespectful. I was hoping that directors would keep passing enough to where they would be like, wow, we made this huge mistake and no one's going to take on this movie without Edgar Wright. And they didn't. So I don't even care about the character. So it's not even that. And I don't particularly love Edgar Wright's films. I just felt like it looked like he was wronged in this situation.
I really like Edgar Wright's films, so I was excited for this, but I don't care at all about Ant-Man as a character, so that's sad now.
Yep. So they say that this movie is still coming out July 17th, 2015, which is really ambitious, obviously, because it's basically a year away. So we'll see if that release date holds or if it has to get pushed a little bit. But I mean, with such a crowded summer movie schedule, I think they got to hold on to that date. I don't know if
I just don't know how they do it. Like, people don't, I don't know if everyone understands what directors do for their first year or two when they're building up to a film's film date.
Right.
Because they basically make the whole movie before with what the sets look like, what, everybody, all the cast and everything. And once you have a new director, does he just take that previous director's all the things he's done and just make his movie?
Right.
It just seems like a very strange thing. I mean, that's what happened with Peter Jackson in The Hobbit. Whenever Guillermo del Toro left, he had to redo everything because he couldn't make a del Toro movie. He had to make a Peter Jackson movie, sadly. Mm-hmm. But the fact is, you can't just have a director come in and steal someone else's work. It just doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
But apparently, Marvel owns everything, so it won't matter.
So let's move on to some other superhero news. Batman versus Superman now has a subtitle. And sorry, it's not versus, really. It's Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice.
That's versus. That's what that means.
Might be the dumbest trailer, dumbest title ever.
The logo looks as the fan art suggested. The Superman logo is within the Batman logo.
It's a little darker.
You're right. The emblem, I guess I should emblem. Say. Yep. And I don't know. What is
just gonna Just going to make it hard to write titles for articles.
Just call it Batman v Superman. No need to do Dawn of Justice.
No Dawn of Justice.
Yeah, who's going to remember that? I mean,
you know what's weird? Like, it seems like Dawn is the new Rise. You know
yeah,
what I mean? Like,
right.
You know how everyone is using, like, Star Trek, or what was it? Darkness Rise.
Into the
Darkness. Never mind.
No, it's not. Star Trek Into Darkness. That's it.
Yeah. Sorry, I was thinking Rise was in that for some reason. I swear Rise was in a few.
Well, movies. Dark Knight Rises.
Oh, yeah. Dark Knight Rises. And yeah. There was a couple more.
Star Wars. Wasn't there one Rise of the Empire? Or?
Well, it's like they do these like titles after them, but everybody starts using them. Like
yeah.
Dawn of Justice. It'll be like Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. And, you know, like that movie's coming out soon, too. Or
the Avengers. The, Dawn of Ultron. So anyway, this movie is going to be coming out next May 6, 2016. That's right, it got delayed. And yeah, I guess they're already filming, so that's cool.
Yeah, they've been in Chicago, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Little Frozen news, because this is the franchise that will not die. It's just too popular. I'm sorry.
Disney, they won't let it go.
You're fired. Disney has announced Frozen on Ice. That's going to be launching this September. It's going to be traveling all across the United States. So now you'll be able to see your favorite characters skating around on ice. Disney has a very popular Disney on Ice. That they have multiple shows always running, always touring the country. So it kind of course, Frozen's a perfect fit given the whole, you know, ice thing. So I think this could be kind of cool.
I actually think this is probably a decent idea.
Yeah.
Just based on the concept.
Really, yeah, it looks really cool.
I
would never see it, but I agree with why it's being made.
Frozen's popularity, you know, is still really
it's
high.
Crazy.
I mean, I'm in a new apartment now, and I had my window open the other day. I heard a little girl singing "Let It Go." It just never ends. So this will be.
Yeah, it's gonna be no.
By the way, Disney on Ice has the worst website you can ever imagine. So if you want to buy tickets, it's probably better to just call, because I was trying to navigate it and it was a horrible experience. So we want to talk about this. I'm regretting it now. My big fat Greek wedding is going to have a sequel. This is today's
subtitle you've put on it.
Yeah, this is a new segment on the show, Unnecessary Sequel News.
Nice.
My Big Fat
like
Greek
it.
Wedding.
We could have included like four movies we talked about.
I know.
So
yeah. I know. I have no opinion on this. I actually have never seen this movie, so.
Well, I have.
It's really popular, right?
It was crazy popular, but it doesn't warrant a sequel. Apparently, they just need money.
I can't even remember how it ended. Like, I guess they got married.
Yeah, I don't either. That's funny. I just remember she was really awkward, and then like a year later, she was skinny and like had her face done and in real life. Sorry, not in the movie.
Dad that put Windex on everything. Was that this movie?
Oh yeah, I think it was. Was it the mom? Yeah.
But that's all I remember from this. But it was funny, but like I feel
it was.
Like
at the time I remember thinking it was
so
funny, but
why yeah, they've clearly just run out of money.
Yep.
On to some TV news now. Orange is the New Black is out, season 2, 13 episodes all at once. Netflix released it last Friday in the middle of the night. Do either of you guys watch?
I don't watch it. My brother does.
It's really good. It's really good. Marimah, you would love it.
I'll watch it at your apartment. I don't have Netflix.
Okay. What are you going to say, Josh?
Nothing. I was just saying my brother and his wife, like, they just try to get me to watch it every week. I'm like, I'm not watching it.
You should. I mean,
I have enough to watch already.
Yeah, well, that's fair enough. Netflix, it's Netflix's most popular show. That's
over House of Cards?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And
I guess because it has a larger demographic, is that why?
Yeah, it's a broader appeal. I mean, House of Cards, I think people hear politics and they're like, that may not be for me.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And it's kind of like, you know, killing and stuff.
Yeah.
So you lose some audience members.
Yeah. So
from
Orange
deaths.
Is the New Black is pretty it's a comedy, but it's also pretty dramatic. I am now 10 episodes in since Friday, 3 more to go, and it's really good. I mean, I think the season is just as good, if not better, than the first season, which is always reassuring. And season 3 already has a renewal, so
nice.
It'll be back next year.
Kyle watched Orange is the Black.
Yeah, I think he does. I have to say, though,
everyone watches, except for you and me, Josh.
I think so, because I swear everyone I talked to mentions it.
This weekend, again, my new apartment complex, I'm walking by one apartment. I hear the theme song. I can see into another apartment, like, across the way from my living room. Yeah. Well, I see them open the door, and I see on the screen, Orange is the New Black.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's like, it's just everywhere.
Yeah. I think people just really like the idea that you can watch stuff whenever you want without commercials. I really think that's
it's
a huge
very tempting
factor. Not just how the quality of these like House of Cards as well, but I think it's just nice not to worry about commercials and watch it when you want.
And the picture quality, it's better than cable. I mean, it's 1080p.
Oh, yeah.
It's just gorgeous.
Yeah.
I have to say, though, I think Netflix needs to shake it up a little bit with how they release. Right now, how they do it is they release all 13 episodes, or the entire season, at once. But they do it at 12:01 a.m. Pacific, so that's 3:01 a.m. Eastern. In other words, I guess they do it in the middle of the night so it doesn't overwhelm Netflix's servers.
Yeah, that's why they do it. Yeah.
Even though I think some people stay up. But anyway, I think what they need to do is release the premiere episode at like 9 or 10 p.m. Eastern so that everybody can watch together live for like a big social media experience.
They probably can't handle it. I bet they can't handle
it. You're probably right. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
because it's different. You're streaming content as opposed to cable is a direct line.
Yeah.
So when you look at like cable numbers, it would be insane if they did the streaming. It would just kill. It would probably kill their servers.
Yeah. I know, but I just, they need to figure
it
out.
Everybody's
they need
like,
to
Netflix
fix it.
Would die? Yes. companies do go down like that. It can't happen.
Well, and Netflix is responsible for some crazy, I think it's like 80% of primetime internet traffic.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's nuts how much bandwidth Netflix uses. Yeah.
They already have a ton of traffic. So, doing like a huge premiere, I can see why someone a bit, you know, at the top's like, no, we can't do that.
Because,
sorry.
Like, the House of Cards season 2 premiere episode, if you've seen it, you know what happens to a particular character. And it's like, if everybody was watching that at the same time, it would have blown up the internet.
It would have blown it all up.
Yeah. It would have been like Ellen at the Oscars.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, that brought down Twitter. Nobody thought that was possible anymore.
Yeah.
No, yeah,
and it would be stuff
Cards,
like that.
Right. That's because House of Cards was released at midnight.
Yeah. And it would be like that. Multiple platforms would probably go down as well.
That'd be fun, though.
But
it would be so fun.
Yeah. I still think they need to do something like this because they need some community experience, I think. It would
agree
be
with
fun.
You on that. I think that you feel like you're watching alone all the time instead of when you're watching on TV, you're kind of watching it while someone on Facebook is telling you something.
Yeah.
Someone posts something on Twitter. And so you feel like you're in this group of people that's watching it. And when you're doing it by yourself, it's kind of like, well, I feel like I'm just watching a movie, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That is a shame. They have such a good opportunity to do like a cool release party thing, but like in your house. So
yeah.
You don't even have to go anywhere. It's even
and
better.
Then we have to do stuff.
Maybe they should stream it into theaters.
See, that would be a good idea. I think. I've been seeing more theaters do streams of like theater.
Yeah, like live events,
shows,
yeah.
Live
like
events,
they did the
orchestras and stuff.
They put that in all the theaters. That would be cool.
Yeah,
and I could see that working.
Because just like a midnight movie release, nothing's as fun as like, nothing's as fun as seeing a TV show or a movie with a ton of other fans.
That's a good idea.
Ton of other passionate. Nerds.
Ton of other nerds, yes.
Yeah.
We should submit that to Netflix.
I'm writing to Netflix. I'm
Maybe
writing to
should,
Genji Cohen.
You should talk to your local theaters and get them to like bug Netflix.
Yeah.
We'd love to have your shows, you know, premiere.
Netflix would
it.
Be like, we're sorry, that won't help boost subscriptions.
I bet
Although,
it would.
I guess it would.
Think about all the people like you bring that they'd be like, come on, like, go with
right.
me.
Right. Then they got to go home and subscribe to Netflix or
exactly.
borrow someone's password.
It's a win-win for everyone.
We've
Theaters
solved
get
it.
Money.
We've cracked the case.
Yeah. Yep. Little other TV news. There's progress on the Casual Vacancy miniseries. Most notably, Michael Gambon, who played Dumbledore in the Harry Potter movies, is going to be in this miniseries based on J.K. Rowling's first post-Potter novel. He's going to play, you know, I stopped reading this book, so I can't exactly remember this, but he's going to be playing Howard Mullison, the owner of the Pagford Delicatessen. So,
is it a big part?
I read the book and I can hardly even remember who's Dougal.
Oh, man.
I have to think
like some random person.
Yeah, he was like a mean guy in it. He was like a horrible kind of neighbor type. The best thing about this entire thing is just the top comment on the article is someone who said, "I wonder if Gambon will actually read the book this time." That made it all worth it.
I have to think it's a significant character of Gambon's playing it. So.
Yeah, he's like he's like the main, they're all horrible people.
But he plays a jerk? Oh, that sucks.
They're all awful people. There's no
this is casual
in this entire book.
They're all like a-holes.
They're all miserable.
Yeah.
Basically.
So, this is
so I guess none of us will be watching it.
No, actually, I will watch it. It's a joint production between, ITV in the UK and HBO. Oh, no, sorry, BBC. BBC. And HBO. Okay. So,
BBC America, maybe.
No. It'll air on HBO in the U.S.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So I'll have to, never mind, watch it.
You'll have to borrow my HBO Go password.
Okay.
but that's why I think I'm going to watch it.
Care.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think a lot of people might like it better as a TV series than as a book.
Right, because you just sort of like... Because it's going to be, 4 episodes, I think? So I think that'll be easy to get through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Plus, one of the problems with the book was there was literally like 20 main characters, and it was really difficult to kind of keep up with them all. And obviously, visually, that's a lot easier for you to manage.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll cut down on some of the characters as well.
Yeah, Fargo's done that on FX.
Oh, yeah. The show's really good, right?
It's a miniseries, yeah.
I need to watch that.
With Billy Bob Thornton and Martin Freeman.
Yeah. I want to watch that.
It's kind of like a short season, but a movie kind of deal.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about this whole Amazon scandal that's going on right now. Many people know that they've been in dispute with some publishers. The biggest one getting headlines is Hatchet, who is publishing J.K. Rowling's new Cuckoo's Calling sequel, The Silkworm. It's supposed to come out later this month, and it still is. But you can't pre-order it on Amazon. And it's because Amazon is being a little bully with these publishers, a big bully with these publishers over... do you know what it is exactly? It's ebook
sales? The Hatchet one is over ebooks.
Okay.
It's over, like, the margin, what percentage they get.
Okay. And, you know, Amazon's
Isn't
made a
it
statement
always?
trying to cover itself from being the bully, but it's totally not working. But now, this morning and last night, we were learning that they are stopping the Lego movie pre-orders due to a new dispute with Warner Brothers. So what is this one about, Josh?
Well, I don't know what it's about, but then that's not my fault. That's just because no one's reported
it. No one knows
yet. But I imagine it's money, as the book one is. But basically, Warner Brothers movies are no longer available in pre-order. So the Lego movie isn't available. There was a couple other ones that I read about. The Winter's Tale, Transcendence, and a couple others that were fairly sizable movies. And they're just not taking pre-orders, just like the books. And... I don't know.
Presumably, it's probably has to do with streaming, and how much Amazon gets from streaming the movies or selling the movies via digital download.
Digital downloads, yeah.
Yeah, it must have to, because if the book one had to do with ebooks, and this one probably has to do with digital sales, because you know Amazon now has Amazon Fire TV, which is like their Apple TV, and of course,
basically
Prime
working
Instant Video.
Against themselves, I guess.
Yeah, so it's just, it sucks how Amazon can do this.
It does.
They're just jerks. Don't buy stuff from Amazon, guys.
You know, I really felt that way. Like, we should start, particularly bookstores, like supporting local bookstores.
Uh-huh.
And I don't mean Barnes & Noble.
When I was writing this, I was like, man, we should just stop buying stuff from Amazon. But I realized how big they are.
All right, guys, you know what this means. It's time to bring back Blockbuster.
Oh man. You guys, if you're talking about books. Oh no, go ahead, Josh.
I was just gonna say this to me, like, someone worked really hard on a Lego movie. You know, like tons of people worked really hard on this movie. And now you're messing up their you know, basically their profits of what they make after the film's out. And a lot of people don't make money until like the Blu-ray and the DVD and the streaming come out. Like, you know, it just doesn't, just how their points work. And so I just feel like Amazon, I don't know if they know what they're screwing up with. They're kind of messing with people's lives. And I think they're doing it just for a very small portion of their, you know, like a percentage of a percentage. And I think it's just ridiculous to me.
They 100% know what they're doing, and that's exactly why they're doing it, because this is really the only thing they can do to like get companies like Warner Brothers or really big publishers to agree with their demands.
I don't mean they don't know what they're doing. I mean like they don't realize what's happening to the lower people.
I'm sure they do, because they exploit their own workers. Like they don't care. I guess the thing is, like, Amazon just has such a monopoly on everything. It's really hard sometimes to get things outside of Amazon, but you often can. It's just, like, takes a bit more time.
Amazon was so great, and lately it's just been, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's bummed me out, really.
Right. Yeah. Well, I don't know about, like, the DVDs and stuff, but in terms of books, in America and in the UK as well, like, you guys have a really good service that's IndieBound. It's a website. And it like lists all of your independent bookstores. Mm-hmm. So you can search by title. It's a database, and it will tell you like what bookstores in your area have the books you're after. And then you can order them online and like do all this stuff. It's really great. So people should use that instead.
IndieBound.com, I assume. Mm-hmm.
Use that instead, guys.
Yeah, it's really, really good.
Stops being jerks.
Yeah. Or maybe even after.
Continue to use that. Support your local bookstore.
I have to say, I actually don't really order books from Amazon. If I do, sometimes it's ebooks. Sometimes I'll use Apple's iBookstore. But for Amazon, the Prime free 2-day shipping, it's hard to resist that. Especially when you can use it for like giant furniture.
And I used to do that a lot for films prior to working for Hyperbole when I, you know, didn't get movies for free. And so I used to get tons of movies from Amazon just coming in all the time, and I would pre-order them. And I think that's why this resonated with me, because I was excited about pre-ordering and stuff like that. And I'm sure it's an even bigger deal for books, because you always like to pre-order the book.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and like everyone, I mean, I have a Kindle. Everyone has a Kindle now, and it's just so convenient. So it's just
convenience is one thing.
That's the thing. Amazon makes it so easy.
Yeah.
And that's what they're doing with Fire TV, Amazon Fire TV, and things like the Lego Movie. So there you go.
Hopefully they'll figure this out, and we won't have to worry about it.
So let's look at what is coming up over the next couple of weeks. First, I'll just mention J.K. Rowling's The Silkworm. That is coming out June. Loading. June 19th.
19th.
The first two chapters are actually available now. I know, it's very soon. I'm trying to finish a book that I'm reading right now so I'm ready for The Silkworm. It's a book that also Mariba needs
on the 19th. Wow.
Yeah.
is it Queen of the Tailing?
Yes.
Have you still not finished it?
No.
If you haven't finished that by the time I get there, I'm going to hit you over the head with it.
It's going to be before you get here, I promise.
Yeah.
But the book comes out in July. So
I know.
I feel bad. Are you mad at me?
I'm pretty mad. I'm going to read it the first day I get there. I'm not talking to you the first day I'm reading Queen of the Tailing.
I'll try to get it to you before then, if that's possible. U.S. to Australia shipping.
Yeah. Did you read the Silkworm chapters?
No, because I want to hold the book and, did you?
Yeah, they're really short.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense, I guess. So, but in related J.K. Rowling news, of course, Universal's Wizarding World of Harry Potter expansion Diagon Alley is going to be opening. It looks like June 20th. In fact, it's most definitely going to be June 20th. That's a Friday. They're hosting a media event a couple days beforehand, which I'll be at, I'm happy to say, and there's going to be lots of cool stuff coming out of that. So if you don't already, follow Hypeable on the social media channels, our Twitter, our Facebook, and our Instagram, because we're going to be doing lots of fun stuff from there. And the username for all of those is Hypeable for all those social media channels.
And it was nice to see the Phelps twins working again.
Phelps twins. They will, if you ever need.
And Bonnie Wright was there. God, does she look good.
If you ever need any Harry Potter favors, call up the Phelps twins, because they will do anything.
Birthday parties. Maybe they should direct Fantastic Beasts.
I bet they would.
I feel bad. They look like a couple nice guys. And,
oh, yeah.
I
hope
they,
of course.
I hope they get no, some work. No one's saying anything bad about it. It's just funny because it's like, oh, there's a Harry Potter event.
The Phelps twins are there. They're all over.
They have a direct dial number that's like Phelps twins whenever they're doing Harry Potter stuff.
Yeah.
It's like the bat signal. They just throw it up in the air and it's like the red wings.
I'm going to make a Phelps twins bat signal now.
Little Divergent news on the calendar as well. Veronica Roth is going to be releasing Four, a Divergent collection, which is four short stories about Four, which comes out in 4 weeks. Wow. She's also going to be going on a book tour in mid-July. What I thought was nice about this book tour that she's doing is she's bringing an author with her to three of the stops, a different author at three of the stops, which is kind of a nice way to promote lesser known authors
that aren't making a fortune.
Yeah, they're actually still pretty popular.
I mean, are they?
Yeah. Well, I mean, but just not Veronica.
They just don't have
Roth.
Divergent out in the theaters.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So Murray Lou, Margaret Stoll, and Phoebe North.
Okay.
I know we've done some coverage of their work on Hypeable. So, you know, have I admitted on the show that I haven't read Elysian yet? I think I have. Yeah,
you always ask me what happens in it.
Right? So I don't think I'm going to be well, maybe I will read this. I don't know. Are you
going to
read it, Marima?
Do
you have it yet?
It's sitting somewhere in my house.
Oh, you do have it? Of course you do.
There'll be a review going up. I don't think I'm going to do it closer to the release date for people that are interested in like the collection. Keep an eye out.
Okay, you bring me this four short story book and I'll give you Queen of the Tearling.
That's not how it works. You already promised me Queen of the Tearling in exchange for my presents.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's right. I forgot about that.
Mm-hmm.
You lied.
Well, you're sleeping on my balcony. Unless you bring four.
Just be knocking on your doorstep for like a week. Thanks.
Yeah. And then little Doctor Who news. We found out this is a ways away, but I wanted to mention that the BBC announced that Doctor Who will be airing starting in August. We don't know when in August, but sometime in August. So that's good news. And actually, just yesterday we learned that this is really interesting. Doctor Who's Peter Capaldi, the girl, Jenna Louise Coleman, and Stephen Moffat are going to be going on a tour around the world to promote Doctor Who. They're going to be in the UK, South Korea, Australia, the United States, in New York, Mexico, and in Brazil. So that's really cool. I mean, they're really trying to promote the new Doctor, I guess, right?
Yeah.
I watched him in World War Z last night.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he plays a serious role, though. Yeah,
he's Capaldi. Is he in that?
In what? Oh. Yeah, he plays a doctor at the WHO for the.
He's a great actor. I don't know why
he was really good.
Tours. Like they never say anything.
Ever. Yeah, he's definitely unique. I think that he'll be good for the show.
Yeah.
Like I don't think I've ever seen another person like him or act like him.
So I'm sure Doctor Who fans are very excited about that. So, one other thing, I believe. Yes, I just wanted to mention Mockingjay Part 1, of course, is supposed to be coming out in November, but you'd barely know it because there's, like, no promotional material yet.
They're like, we don't have to do this anymore.
Yeah, they're like, everybody we made enough money. We've got that exhibition coming out next year. That'll make plenty of money.
And they'll be the theme park, so don't worry about it.
Right.
Like, we've got a second one of these. We're not worried about the first.
We actually did get some production stills. They look really good.
The motion poster is awesome. I just watched it again.
Yeah. We got our first look at Julianne Moore playing President Coin.
Love her.
There's a great photo of her and the late Philip Seymour Hoffman. Also a great shot of Haymitch. Played by Woody Harrelson.
Beard's getting longer.
Yeah. Good stuff. A trailer has to be coming soon, but we just don't know when. So we're left waiting in anticipation.
I can't wait for this movie. I don't know why. I watched Catching Fire the other night, and I was like, God, this is a good movie. They really did. They stepped it up so much from the first one. And,
I like the first one.
No, I like the first one. I'm just saying, when I first watched it, I was like, okay, you know, it was decent. But when I watched Catching Fire, I was like, God, this is great. And then I watched it the other night again. I was like, man, this is amazing. I can't wait for Mockingjay.
They've done a really good job with that franchise.
And I was like not a fan at all. I kept going into it. So they've totally got me.
And that's it on the calendar, and that's it for our show today. Thank you, everybody, for listening. As always, you can go to Hypeable and leave a comment on the episode announcing this article to submit your feedback about what we had to say today. I don't think we angered too many people today. I think it was a pretty safe show.
Sounds good.
Yeah. It was a catch-up show.
Lots it was a catch-up show, yes. And we'll be back in a couple weeks with another new episode. So thanks, everybody, for listening. I'm Andrew Sims.
I'm Josh Neely.
And I'm Marima White.
And we'll see everybody next time for episode 30. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.